One of the most frustrating things in the world is when you call a company, helpline, customer service, billing, whatever, you explain your situation as a customer. You've reached the wrong department. I'll have to transfer you. You get to the next person. What do you do?
You have to explain everything all over again.
You have to explain everything. If one person in one department knows about it, but it's not in the CRM, nobody else in any other department knows about it.
Everybody, I think, agrees, CRM is a good tool, but I've noticed a lot of companies ignoring it. Mm-hmm. And even when a company has a CRM, salespeople are ignoring it.
I know you're not going to believe me when I say this. If it's not in the CRM, it did not happen.
Welcome back to the show. Today's topic is going to be a revenue audit. I'm sure you are thrilled. Who doesn't love an audit? But this audit is very special. We're going to talk about uncovering lost opportunities and leaks, revenue leaks in your business. So that's more money. I think that's pretty exciting.
Yes, we all love that.
So Michelle and I have been working on better articulating the services that our businesses offer. And as we've been going through that, she's been talking about the revenue audit. Yes. So I've been like, Michelle, what is a revenue audit?
Well, it is strange, those two words together, a very, very friendly word and a little bit of an intimidating word. So a revenue audit is basically looking at every functional area of an organization that has some sort of impact on revenue. And you look to see where you have opportunities that you may not have fully tapped into. And also where there's some leaks, where revenue could be coming in, but unfortunately it's going out.
So just to be the devil's advocate here, I mean, I've done some financial reviewing in businesses. Can I just look at my revenue, top line revenue data to get a revenue audit? I mean, what else is there to it?
Well, top line revenue does not pay the bills. There's also a bottom line of revenue. And there's a whole bunch of numbers in between. We're going to look at those numbers.
So you mentioned this interesting word of revenue leak. What is that?
Well, a leak is where there is there's revenue that is coming in, but it's either not staying in or there is some waste there, or it's money that's maybe not being spent properly towards the right resources. You're not getting the return that you should because it's being deployed not as effectively as it should be. Or it could just be a lack of communication. What I look at when I'm doing a revenue audit, or really when I approach any engagement with a client, is what I call the three C's. The first thing you have to do is clarify. What is it that you're working towards? Whether it's a goal, whether it's a marketing message, whether it's a target audience, everything has to be clarified. And of course, you've got more than one person in your organization, so you have to communicate. And it's not just communicating with the heads of functional areas. You have to communicate across all functional areas. That means, of course, the executive office. It means sales, marketing, operations, customer success, IT, operations, finance, manufacturing, product development and management. Everybody has to communicate and coordinate and work towards that common clarified goal or message. And then that last C, one that I'm passionate about, and I don't take that word lightly, is the CRM. The CRM is the source of truth. One of my favorite sayings, if it's not in the CRM, it did not happen. And if one person in one department knows about it, but it's not in the CRM, nobody else in any other department knows about it. So those are the three things that I look at in a revenue audit: clarification, communication, and CRM.
So you mentioned there's a lot of different functions that support the revenue generation. So what do you look for? What are all the functions you would typically audit, and what do you look for in each of them?
That's a great question. And depending on the size of your organization, you may say, well, I only have three executives and, you know, a total staff of 10. So that's not much that I need to look at. Look at each function, not each person, because one person could be the COO, the CFO, and also head of HR. And of course, head of HR is going to manage customer service and sales and marketing as well. So, you know, you've got to look at what each function does. So let's take, of course, let's start with sales. You have to look at current clients, past clients, prospects. Have all of them been messaged effectively, sold effectively? What about your current clients and past clients? Are you cross-selling and upselling to them? Are you reaching out to the right ICP? That would be your ideal client profile. And is the sales messaging consistent with the marketing messaging? Because if marketing is saying one thing and sales is saying another, you're wasting a lot of funds there because you're sending out mixed messages. So with marketing, you want to do an analysis of marketing costs versus results. Are you getting the results that you're looking for? You may not be using the right marketing channels if you're not getting the right results, if they're not cost effective. So you also want to evaluate your marketing goals as part of the revenue audit. KPIs for both sales and marketing are plentiful. And if you're not familiar with those, this would be a great time to speak with your CRO if you have one. And if you don't have one, get that outside expertise that can say, okay, these are all the KPIs that you should be looking at, you should be measuring. And if it's not working, we need to get it working. Look at your partnership channels. If you're not using them, maybe it's a viable channel for you. If you are using them, are they working for you? Or are you working for them? And who's winning at that relationship? Customer success, you know, retention, upsell, cross-sell, renewals, referrals. There's just a whole gamut. And of course, there's IT operations, product, finance, everything.
What would you say is like the most important? Like, you've never done a revenue audit. Like, what's the three things? You just get started there.
Well, of course, that clarification, that's going to start with all the stakeholders. You've got to get them involved. What is their vision? What is their message? What do they see as their value prop? Then you bring in your sales and marketing, get them on board, get that clarified. Then you disseminate all the information, get all of, you know, drill down all the way to everybody that touches that prospect or customer. And then the CRM, that wonderful, wonderful CRM. Make sure it is the appropriate tool for your company. Don't go get the Rolls Royce if you just got your driver's license. You know who I'm talking about there. Make sure it's appropriate fit. Make sure it's designed for you, designed for your needs. Make sure it's used.
So you mentioned, okay, CRM is a very important source of data for every business, but a lot of companies don't even have a CRM, at least a few. And even when they do, I think is it true? A lot of people kind of just ignore it.
Unfortunately, that is true. There's a lot of companies that think, well, we're too small for a CRM, and they don't have anything set up that they can share communication across functional areas. Sometimes two people sitting next to each other, across from a cube, don't have the same information. They can't see the same thing. A head of a functional area can't see what their team is doing. That's a big problem. The other issue is when a CRM is not set up properly. So it doesn't track all the information you want it to track because it wasn't set up to track those fields. Or someone defines a field one way and another person defines it another way, and they're putting incorrect data that doesn't align to that field. So selecting your CRM is critical. It's also important to pick one that's appropriate for your size. There's no sense in buying that Rolls Royce if you just got your driver's license. So find an appropriate fit CRM. If you need help with that, there are resources out there that can help you evaluate the best fit for you as you scale, as you grow. Of course, I am happy to do that as part of my services as well. You may have those resources internally. Take advantage of that if you do. But make sure that the CRM is used. It's used consistently. consistently, it's used accurately, and the information is shared. If it didn't get into the CRM, it did not happen. It doesn't matter if it's written on somebody's legal pad that they spoke to this customer or this prospect. Nobody else knows that.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing people kind of don't think about, and I've seen a lot of this in technology companies in particular, you know, people are talking a lot about their competitive advantage, and they always talk about the features of the product. They talk about the strength of their brand, the uniqueness of their service offering, but then they don't track their customer data. And your customer data is one of your competitive advantages.
It's your gold. It's your currency.
Yes. It's there's so much value in being able to see who were your customers. Who did you succeed with? Coming back to the people you didn't succeed with, you know, 2 years later, if you didn't track that information and the person who worked there, you know, is now gone, or they're in a different role. Maybe they're now head of your operations or something. You're never going to find that information again.
Or head of your competitor's operations.
Your CRM data is this incredible source of value for your company. As you grow your company, if your CRM is consistently grown, then your value is increasing.
Absolutely. Interestingly enough, executives, founders, a lot of those audience members, many of our viewership, they rely on the CRM in so many decision-making processes of their business. They use it for forecasting. They use it for deciding investments. They use it for deciding directions of their product or service, or, you know, their position in the market landscape. We found some interesting data in a report that Validity puts out. In the 2022 report, it was called the State of CRM Data Management Report. Again, it was by Validity. We'll put a link to that report in the show notes, so you can check that out as well. It has some great information in it. They found that 88% of companies believe that their CRM system is either very important or important to achieving their revenue objectives, to make those decisions, to give them insight into their business, their customers, their future. 88%. However, 45% rated the overall quality, you know, the accuracy, the usefulness of their CRM as poor.
Ooh. Not just not good enough, but poor.
So 86% say, oh my gosh, it's so important. But almost half of them say, but the data's not good. So they say it's either, it's got inaccurate data, it's missing data. Either it's, it has conversion rates wrong, or information about customers wrong. It's missing, it's out of date. So they can't use the data, or they make bad decisions. That's even worse. When asked about that, what they found was more than a quarter, I believe it was 27%. They said that bad data cost them 10% or more in lost revenue annually. Now that is a big leak.
That's a leak.
If you're a $10 million company, you know what 10% of that is?
That's a lot of money.
It's $1 million because you have bad data in that CRM. So half of the participants said they're so poor that they can't even try and make decisions with their data. So the CRM is one of the big three C's that I use in my revenue audits.
Well, what information can you get from your CRM? Just a couple of examples for small business that's growing that would illustrate, like, what if you're using it really well, what are you able to see that helps you improve your growth?
Wow. There is a ton of information you can get in every department. So let me hit the big three. I'm going to hit sales, marketing, and customer success. So for sales, you can find out, is your data source any good? If you're getting a bunch of disqualifieds, disconnects, bad number, contact no longer there, you're probably using an old data source. you may be going after the wrong ideal customer profile. You may be using the wrong messaging because the sales rep says they're disqualified, but maybe they're disqualified because they didn't explain it right. It may not be that your product is hitting the wrong prospect. It could be that your seller is selling the wrong product from what you have to offer. So there's a lot of KPIs that you can evaluate that way once you have that data in the CRM. Of course, the obvious as well, you can look at performance management for your sales reps, see how effective they are as individuals as well as a team. For marketing, you can find out how effective are the various marketing channels you've chosen. How effective is your messaging? Is one channel more effective than the other? Depending on what type of product or service you have, what type of marketplace, what kind of competitors you have, whether your product is an early life cycle or early life stage in the industry, it may be more appropriate to do one channel versus another. Mm-hmm. If it's something that customers really need to see live, digital might be better because you can do video, or a trade show might be better. If it is a lower price point, stagnant photo may be fine, lower price. Social media may be more important, and it might be a lower price than video. So all of that, once you get the KPIs and the data, then you can do your analysis. Customer success KPIs generally are looking at how often your customers are touched. If you're not talking to your customers, somebody else will. You can look at renewal percentages. Mm-hmm. Are you calling your customers 30 days before renewal? It's probably too late. You need to call them probably quarterly, if not more. Looking at how many referrals are you getting as a percentage of your client base? How many renewals as a percentage? Upsells, cross-sells, things like that.
It's very cool. You also mentioned other departments have to be involved. You mentioned IT, finance. Let's talk about the technology side of things, because I feel like that's a huge elephant, right? It's like there's a CRM, but the technology inundation right now, I feel this in my business. I'm always like, oh, that's a cool tool that does something. I'm like, who has the time to make it all work together? I don't, I have a spreadsheet where I keep track of all the software that my business uses. And right now my business is one person and I have a spreadsheet of these. So let's talk about the technology side of the revenue audit. Cause that seems like a big elephant in the room.
It is. It is. In fact, one of the biggest expenses for a company is investing in their tech stack, whether it's a MarTech or a sales tech or a sales enablement, whatever it is a huge investment, and it's an absolutely worthwhile investment if you're getting a return on that investment. If it's not being used, not being used properly, or not being used consistently, then you're not getting the return that you need. That means you either need to use it properly or get rid of it. So that would be part of an evaluation for the revenue audit. Look to see, is it a need? Is it a nice to have? If it's not being used, is it because it hasn't been trained? Do people need to be trained on how to use it? Or is it something that is just superfluous? It's not needed. If you have three sales reps and they're reporting directly to the CEO, I can guarantee you that CEO is not engaged in listening to their call recordings and using their coaching methods and doing the transcriptions and the automations. So if nobody is actually using it correctly, nobody else will know, and you've wasted that investment.
That's a really great point. And I think it's an important note that there's a lot that goes into just selling well, but just organizing the system of sales so that, or marketing, or sales and marketing and customer service, so that information flows, so that things are consistent. Mm-hmm. That just in itself, information flow, consistency. There's so much that can be lost and all that. I want to bring up a really interesting resource, a book I read last year called CMO to CRO. Okay. And that was the first time I heard the term chief revenue officer used colloquially. And you are a chief revenue, you come in chief revenue officer doing revenue related work. So explain the difference between a sales audit, a marketing audit, like what's the chief revenue, what's this revenue ops concept? Why is it emerging now?
Well, it's emerging because businesses today, to be successful, you cannot be siloed in each of your functional areas. You've got to have, you know, that second C, the communication, to be truly effective, to truly grow. And, you know, everybody talks about growth hacking and, you know, accelerating and scaling, but you can't scale individual departments effectively, because if you do that, somebody's lagging behind. You have to do everyone together in sync. That way you accelerate and rapidly achieve your goals. So the chief revenue officer, and that concept has gained a lot of speed lately, is because we're trying to eliminate those silos. Mm-hmm. It used to be that the VP of sales, the VP of marketing, the VP of finance, VP of customer success, if there was one, a lot of companies did not see that as a VP position before. It's critical. It needs to have a seat at the table. They used to all be reporting directly into another C-level or to the CEO directly. They need to have one central report, and that would be to revenue. And the absence of all of those different heads, a company will generally start with a chief revenue officer to manage the growth of those departments, the consistency, the messaging, the goals, the strategy, to make sure you have a consistent goal that trickles down. Because as individual departmental goals are achieved, if they mirror the organizational goals, you're going to speed your scale that much more. So that's where the CRO came in as the kind of umbrella of all of those revenue touching functions.
And the link to the book, if anybody wants to check it out, is also in the show notes. I just want to bring up a really interesting statistic you shared with me from Salesforce. Yeah. They said that 75% of customers, 76%, say they expect consistency when interacting with various departments of a company. So yes. Most people really want to see that consistency, but more than half of them feel that when communicating between different departments, it feels like they're completely separate companies. It's not just a glitch. They have to call a completely different number. Yeah. They are redirected to somebody. There's no consistency at all. And what's the role of the revenue officer in fixing that weird problem that customers then are being bounced around?
I know you're not going to believe me when I say this. It's the CRM. One of the most frustrating things in the world is when you call a company helpline, customer service, billing, whatever. You explain your situation as a customer. You've reached the wrong department. I'll have to transfer you. You get to the next person. What do you do?
You have to explain everything all over again.
You have to explain everything. Well, don't you have the notes from my last call? No, I don't. I don't have access to that. That's a different system. So that's why we need to eliminate silos. Everyone needs access to all the same information. Mm. When you call a point of contact within the right area, if you're customer service, if you're a customer and you're calling customer service, customer success, whatever that case may be, that person needs to be able to help you. They need to be empowered to help you. And what empowers them? Knowledge.
That's really good. That's really powerful. So give me an example of you did a revenue audit with a company and something really awesome came out of that.
I'd be happy to. That's awesome. There is money in your CRM. I swear to you, there's money in your CRM. There are prospects that you've forgotten about. There are key contacts, raving fans of yours that are customers who have left your customer organization, gone to a new company.
Mm.
They love your product. They're at a new company. That new company does the same thing, similar thing as your current client that they just left. Call them. They're a great prospect for you.
Yeah, so that's a really good point.
Oh, and by the way, that company they just left, that's still your client. There's someone there that you don't know that just started there in that role. Find out who it is and call them.
So let's talk real quick, pros and cons. Should you do your own revenue audit? Pros and cons of that. Should you hire an external consultant or a fractional revenue officer to help you do it? Pros and cons.
You know, there's so many things in life where I say, it depends. Guess what my answer is?
It depends.
It depends.
Oh, how did I know?
Again, so many of our listenership are in that SMB startup scale up, that whole realm. And the amount of resources they have vary widely. Not only their financial resources of what they can invest in this audit, but also their internal talent resources.
Mm.
So if you have the internal talent, you could consider doing it yourself. But keep in mind, the leaks that occurred on your internal talent's watch. It may be because they weren't aware. An external view could probably really benefit not only you as a company, but that person, that talented person in that role who is an asset to your company. This will help them develop awareness and skills that will help you in the future. So bringing in an external does not hurt whatsoever. If you don't have those resources internally, absolutely bring in an expert that can take a look, do the audit, and say, okay, here's what I found. Here are recommendations. What you do with those recommendations, it can be prioritized. What do you have the internal resources to tackle? What do you have the funding to hire, perhaps a fractional executive to tackle? What's going to give you the most bang for your buck?
You know, one thing that I think comes through as you're talking about this is you're looking for someone who can think sales and marketing. So they can think about things like messaging, customer empathy, customer's journey, but they also have to be someone with an operational mindset. They
Absolutely.
Have to be like, what's next in the process? Is something getting dropped? And then there's this data piece to it, which they have to be an analytical person who dives in and isn't afraid of digging for the data and looking at what is the data showing? Is it showing the things you expected? Why not? So you have to be kind of a deep person and a broad person and an operational person, but also have that mindset of messaging. So
yeah,
I can see why it's not always that you would have the talent inside your company, because you might have somebody who's really incredible at marketing, but maybe they're not so much heavily focused on the technology and operations. So they might be more of a messaging brand person.
Right.
Or alternatively, if you have somebody really tech focused, for example, and they've gotten all the systems together, but they don't have that customer experience, empathy piece of it, you need to bring somebody who can think about that aspect of it. Think about the roadmap to getting your customers referrals, for example.
It really does need to be somebody that has that cross-functional expertise, that background, that that view that you can be objective about. You don't want to be the person that says, I kind of created a mess here. many people are going to say that. However, if an objective person comes in and looks at all the different areas, they can say, okay, well, here's where you have opportunities. And that's a much better way to look at it. Mm-hmm. You can get an objective view, who's somebody who's going to say, these are the things you're doing really, really well. These are resonating. These are getting results. These are the lost opportunities. These are the leaks. So you're not just looking for the bad stuff. You're looking for the good. And you want to optimize the good. You want to certainly exploit the good, but you also want to fix the leaks, plug the leaks, and also take advantage of those lost opportunities.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your expertise on this topic. I'm hoping some of our listeners have gotten a lot of new information about yes. how they can be looking at their data, why they should be implementing a CRM system now.
Yes.
And thinking broadly about how the customer experiences their company and how that information transfer can help break silos and get everybody focused on how to fix the issues maybe the customer has as they navigate the different parts of the life cycle.
And Dasha, you had mentioned a term there that a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with. You had mentioned the customer journey. So that's a little bit of a teaser. We're going to be talking about a customer journey here in an upcoming episode. If you're not familiar with the concept, that's going to be a can't miss episode for you. It's going to give you so much information and benefit not just your way of thinking about things, but your way of executing. Look forward to that.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you. We hope you found value in this episode. Please share this podcast with someone you know that might also find it useful to scale their business. Go, Go, Grow is found across all major podcast platforms as well as on YouTube. We'll see you on the next episode. And also please join us for our office hours. You'll find details in our show notes.